breath back here. It's going to be fun. I normally would probably try to find somebody else to speak today, but I really think the Lord wants me to give this word today. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Oh, shakalati yasakofuma mama makarati yasu. Father, thank you that we're a people of destiny. We're a people with a plan. We're a people of blessings. We're your sons and daughters. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in and do what you want to do in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1995, February, first Sunday in February. Next Sunday will be 20 years since we started this church. Well, then the first year that I was here, there was a lot of teaching on called spiritual mapping. You can really call it whatever you want. But it's a teaching of what are the territorial strongholds over an area. Ephesians 6 says, we battle with demons, we cast demons out, but we wrestle with spiritual, territorial spirits, which in the hierarchy of the demon realm is higher. Done lots of research since then. A territorial spirit will even change people's minds to look at things in a different way, and we call it normal. One advantage, there are some disadvantages. When I came here and moved here, there are some disadvantages of coming here and moving here. One is it's having a harder time identifying with the culture, even though I was from Georgia, another part of Georgia, Atlanta and Augusta. The culture is quite a bit different than here. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. That's a disadvantage. But one advantage is you come in and you haven't been under those spiritual territorial spirits, and it's easier to go, something's not quite normal here. Now, I was under my own territorial spirits, but since I thought they were normal, it was usually harder to try to figure them out. Within the first year of being here, the Lord showed me four major strongholds over this area. The first one was religious spirit, apathy, lust, and poverty. Well, if you were here the first 6-7 years, all I talked about every Sunday was defeating a religious spirit. A religious spirit is saying, I have to worship a certain way to get God's approval. I have to be a certain way to get God's approval. And our approval is in walking with Him. It's not in what we do. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. A religious spirit will put you under condemnation. You don't show up to church enough, or you do something quite wrong. You have to pay off. And we work through all of that. And our church is quite a bit different than then. The music is different, closer. It was years before I even wore blue jeans because the Lord said, you've got to have a common point there. And I can safely say that we've, many years ago, at least over us, we've defeated that mentality of a religious spirit. Most of us here that have been here any time, it's something we've got to guard against, but it's not something that plagues us. It's not something that's a big deal. Now, and our city has even come up quite a bit in 20 years. It's really amazing to see how much has changed over the 20 years of more freedom. And I apologize for my shortness of breath. We'll get through this in Jesus' name. 2005. It's almost 9 years ago now. It was in the fall of 2005. I was sitting, at that time I had an office where the Moravian Room was. And I knew then, the Lord just spoke to me clearly. He says, you are now entering into, like you freed people from religious spirit. When I say you, it's us together. But as you free people of religious spirit, he says, you are now entering the battle to free from a spirit of poverty. And it has been a long 9 years. But last summer, I felt that battle lift. And the Lord said, you have done the intercession, you have done the battling for this, and it's time to start walking the process of getting your people free and ultimately this region free. That was 9 years of walking through that, of just tremendous battles. And when our finances dropped 50%, our finances now are 50% of what they were in 2005 as a church. My personal finances, until just recently, dropped 33% from what it was then. Still never has gone back up. That's poverty. I'm not saying it is of God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was a battle to go through to try to get the gems and the intercession and the things to fight through this thing. November the 12th, this last year, And I just heard the Lord clearly say, so that poverty was released in the summer. I felt that. That doesn't mean you don't have to walk through it, but the victory was gained in the spiritual realm, and we got to live it out in the physical realm. And in November the 12th last year, I heard the Lord say, the word that I want you to deliver in January for your people is finances. And so I'm just going to give a brief overview. You're going to hear a lot about that this year, because the spirit of poverty has got to get off of us for you and us together to achieve what God wants to achieve. Because we are spiritual beings, but we're also physical beings, and we are bound by money. Sure. But we're also bound by mentality. Yeah, sure. We've got a lot of teaching around here on the poverty. Poverty is not just about money. I'm going to emphasize that today, but poverty is also stealing vision. One of the first things I noticed when I first moved here, like in the first couple years, and I mentioned it to leaders, I said, ambition to achieve something. Now, there's wrong ambition, but ambition to build. Ambition to build businesses and to accomplish things and to go to college and different things. I said, it's not here in this city. That was one of the first things I noticed. It was get to 18 and do what, you know, survive till we die. I'm talking generally. It may not apply to you and your family. But when you've been in a city like Augusta, I was here or there for 10 years, it was a very ambitious city. A lot of it's wrong. But when you move to here, you notice that differently. And I started praying. And he says it's poverty. It's a slave mentality almost that's been put on the area to keep people happy to do the menial jobs for those so that they can reap the money. Is that too blunt? It's not everybody. So it affects physically, but it also affects spiritually. Because as we know, God said in Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, take dominion. And that requires vision, that requires dreams, and it requires money. And so today, I'm telling you, we're going to break the spirit of poverty over us. And it's going to take this year, next year, it's probably going to take years, like it did with the religious spirit. We're going to get to a place where a spirit of prosperity is over us, which means there's no limit in God versus a spirit of poverty. It's, this is all I can do. Now, this is such a touchy subject. When I talk about spirit of prosperity and finances, I'm not talking about getting to the place. I lived with this in the charismatic movement of bigger houses and bigger cars. Well, just get that out of your mind. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you having enough money and this church having enough money to do the call of God on your life and my life. One of the things I want to do in missions, we did it years ago and we stopped around 2005-06, was take more people on missions trips. You know, one of the reasons I stopped is because nobody had any money. Even though I knew it was God's call for them to experience what their brothers and sisters are going through or how they live in other countries. Well, we're going to start that this year. But the problem is most of us don't have $1,000 to go to the Dominican Republic. That is not condemnation, but some of you know you need to go. And so we need to figure out spiritually, we're going to break the spirit of poverty over us, and then physically we have to change. You got me? So that if it's His will to go, we go. See, almost all of my decisions the last 9 years, and I've known this, but I've also known about it, is I don't have the money. Or the church, we don't have the money. Like we want to record our music. We don't have the money. It's going to take several $1,000s to get the equipment. That's fine. It's not a condemnation thing. But the Lord wants to record our music.
Amen. Yes.
It'll be a blessing of freedom to other people. And it's going to happen. You got me? And so there's three things. So in 2015, the Lord, this is a word for our congregation. It's not just Craig teaching. I'm telling you, as a prophet and as a pastor, this is what He wants us to do. We want to start off today praying, and we'll walk through it, to give our finances to Him and break off the spirit of poverty. And then it's going to take a lot of work. But some of you, it's not under it. You may already be there. You can help us be the teachers and guiders to get through that. But I'm telling you, can you imagine the freedom when God asks you to do something and the finances are there to do it? Now, sometimes it's probably always going to be limited to some degree because there's faith there. But it shouldn't be limited to the degree that we have now. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There are three things I think the Lord wants to do in our finances this year, over our finances. He wants to protect it. He wants to align them with His calling on your life. And He wants to increase them. Now, there's no way in one talk we can go over this. Well, I'll be talking about it on and off and as the year goes along. But I'm telling you, in the natural, you need protection over your finances. We also need our finances aligned correctly with His promise and vision over our life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
If our finances, and that this is where we spend our money, how we save our money, how we give our money, is different than what His calling is on you as a family, you as an individual, and you as a church, it's out of alignment, and it's hard to multiply that. I'm not saying it's sin. I'm just saying the Lord wants to multiply it and increase it and make it stronger. Increase. We're going to talk about increase too. He wants to increase. But let me talk a little bit about protection. Whatever you give to God, 5%, 10%, 15%. I've seen in my own self a tendency to say, well, that's God's. Let's say you give 10%, whatever, missions, church here, benevolence. It's to say the other 90%, we don't pray about it quite as much. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, what we need to do this year, if you haven't done it in a long time, let's do it again. You need to commit 100% every penny of your paycheck to God. It does not mean you're going to give it all to Him because you got to pay the rent and eat.
Right.
But involve Him on every decision, trusting that He sees a bigger picture than you do.
Amen. Yes.
I'm telling you, that's key. If you just commit to Him the 10%, He'll protect the 10%. But you'll have to protect the 90%.
That's it.
If you give Him the 100%, and they're talking about layoffs at work, it's stressful no matter what you do. Or some big financial thing happens like the air conditioner goes out. The compressor goes out. You can say, Father, I have given you 100% of my finances. If you want me to spend it on a new transmission, so be it. Otherwise, keep this thing running.
Amen. Yes.
But if we haven't given Him the 90%, we can't say that. He will bless what He can. Y'all agree with that?
Yes, sir.
And so, on the alignment, we're going to pray in a few minutes and we'll teach some more. As we're saying, I'm giving you my 100% of my finances. And I'm telling you, that's harder than you think it is. Let's just take the church because it's a good one. I've said that over the church. When our finances dropped by literally 50% of what they were 7 or 8 years ago, we did all the things in the natural cutting and looking for holes and cutting missionaries and all kinds of stuff. And you do that. Several times we were wondering if we were going to make the rent. And this is what I did. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, we've given you this church, given you 100% of this church. If you want it to close down, that's your prerogative.
Amen.
And He never has. I mean, we've always had enough for the rent. So He must want to keep it open. Now, this is easier said than done. Because I also had to do this with my personal finances. I mean, how many of you can take a 33% cut? 6 months unemployment. Man, it was hard. Still hard. Got debt from that thing. I went into it with savings, came out with debt. But many times I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is how you want to do your finances, so be it. If I'm spending it where I shouldn't, show me. And sometimes He'd give me great ideas on how to save money with realigning insurance and things like that. And other times there were things I liked to do that I needed to stop that was not fun to stop. You'll follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
But are we an owner or a steward? I know as a church and us as and me as an individual, and I'm sure with you too, we're going to come out of this thing stronger. Because the Lord wants to free his people into prosperity. I've never been into that, like what I'm talking about, but I can see it, and I've seen it in other cities. I've seen it on other churches, and it's going to happen here. Because there's a destiny on this church to affect this region and affect the world. It's amazing what we have done with a little bit of money around the world. And we've been faithful with that. It's amazing what we've done with benevolence and different things. And so there's integrity there, and so we're going to get there. Well, how? It's going to be doing practical stuff and by the Spirit. I mean, you think of the talent of the parable of the talents. You know, the guy got 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. Came back, the guy with 1 talent buried it, he got his taken away. The guy with 10 talents, there's a lot of back and forth on how much that is. Some people say it's a week's pay. Some people say it's a year's pay. I don't know how much it is, but it was a pretty good bit of money. God came back and said, you have done good with those 10 talents. You have been a steward. Now look at what happens when a spirit of prosperity gets on you. I now promote you to rule over 10 cities. Now that just doesn't make sense in the natural. And that's why the spirit of poverty wants to keep stealing from you and saying you can't make it, you can't get there. You're going to die without visions happening. You're going to die penniless and everything else. It's because he knows when a spirit of prosperity, which is your faithfulness, multiplied by the wisdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can go managing 10 talents, however much that is, to ruling 10 cities. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't expect any of us to rule 10 cities. We don't even do that kind of system here. But it's a prosperity of influence and a prosperity of power. And so, the thing we have to do with our finances, the first thing to align, is to commit everything we have to Him 100%. And we're going to do that in just a minute. And if you want to do that, fine. I encourage you to do that. Because that gives him freedom to do what he wants to in those areas.
Hallelujah.
Then, that's the spirit. Then the practical. If you haven't done this, you need to do the practical. We're going to talk quite a bit about the practical here on out. Because he doesn't just treat you like a puppet. You know, where you've been manipulated by strings. He's training you as a son. If he gave you or me or our church doubling of our finances, which I know most of you in here, I don't think we're talking extravagant sums. Say you even make $100,000 a year. Doubling to $200,000 is cool, but that's not outrageous. You know what I'm saying? Would it be used effectively? Or would it be just more of the same? See, a spirit of prosperity says, okay, he's giving me another $100,000. Why? I'm living on the $100,000 I have now. Why? And some of it, you know, we'll be blessed by it, but some of it, see, a spirit of prosperity has started learning how to make things grow. Okay, what can I do with this $100,000 to increase so that 10 years from now, I and my generations and the ministry I put into are better off?
Yeah.
What business idea could I do with this so that it would cause an increase without spending the principal? That takes skill to do businesses. But you're a son and daughter, and he's willing to do that on you. So some of your dream and vision is going to take a lot of knowing how to handle money and do whatever that skill is so that it's not wasted. And it's more than just putting it in the bank because the guy, well, or just hiding it because the guy with one talent just buried it. He said you could at least put it in the bank and got a 1% interest rate, which would be today. You follow me? And so what he's wanting to do is not just give us money, but expand our minds first to think how to change this region, how to change your family, how to bless your family, and believe for bigger things for your family. And money will help support that, but it's not the leading edge. The vision is the leading edge. Last 7 years, I've been working in Chattanooga. Before that, I worked down here. And that's been a part of God's plan. I can't go into all of that, but the last 7 years, I've been exposed to things of how they do business in Chattanooga. And we've seen a remarkable renaissance there. In business. Volkswagen plant's one of them. And then I look at this region and there's no vision for that. Wouldn't you love to have 4,000 jobs of a Volkswagen plant in this region?
Absolutely.
They're getting another 2,000 or so. That's one small thing, but the Lord is wanting to release people of a different mentality into here, and he's wanting to pick Christians too that'll flow with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I'm just giving you ideas of things I've noticed. I think the spirit of poverty came into this city, this is after 20 years, from 1833 when the Trail of Tears started here, when the governor of Georgia and the president Andrew Jackson, against the Supreme Court ruling, violated law and ran out the Indians. All why? Because of greed. They thought there was gold in the hills. I think, this is Craig's opinion, that it was just the devil to stop the revival among the Cherokees. The Moravians came here. There was a full-blown revival down in Calhoun. If you ever, you ought to go sometime to the Chota State Park where their headquarters were. It's not much, or the capital of Cherokee Nation, it's not much there anymore. But you see, they had a place for the Supreme Court, they had their own language, they had their own newspaper, and there was full-blown revival. And I think it was the devil trying to steal to keep that from happening, you know, among other Cherokee tribes. But either way, legally, the state of Georgia and the United States promoted a spirit of greed that was lawlessness. And I think today, we still suffer the spirit of poverty over this area because of that. Now, there's been a lot of work since then to reverse that. There's been people that I've met with, Mom met with, that came and did reconciliation spiritually over the area and had churches pray over the area that we were not a part of before our time. When I got here, the Lord told me, don't worry about that, but there's still one link left, and that's to get the Georgian government to do a formal apology. Tennessee last year did a formal apology. It took them 7 years to pass it, but they did. And that's coming in Georgia, and there's people that are a part of that. That's one reason I'm going to be in Cleveland the end of this month. LaVonna Cockerham, they're looking at doing a documentary over this area. Eventually, the state of Georgia is going to repent for this because that's the last thing. We've repented individually, repented as a people. But that spirit of poverty goes all the way back there. But we as individuals can start breaking that thing now over us.
Hallelujah.
One of the things that I noticed when I first got here was, it was evidenced by an article. Some of you all might have seen it. It was December the 9th in the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Did y'all see this? The second least educated city in America. How many of y'all saw that? The second least educated city in America. Guess who that was? Dalton, Georgia. Now that was college degrees. Clingman, Arizona was number one. And so when I saw that, it's just that evidence of a spirit of poverty to never rise much above where we are. So I went and found from the Department of Education from 2012, apologize for my breath, that the graduation rates in this area. Phil County, 64%. Now, there's a range there. like, is Caleb here? Or is he already gone? Southeast was 83%. But Whitfield County was 64% graduation rate from high school. I'm sorry. Dalton City Schools was 75%. Murray County was high at 83%. Gordon County was 81%, and then Calhoun City Schools was the highest. There's just one school, Calhoun High School, at 94%. And so, you know, here in this county, 64%, one out of three people don't even graduate from high school. That needs to change. Why? Because, and now listen to me, this is key. This, if you want to go on this journey, God does not drop checks into your mailbox. That's a lottery mentality. He does not do that. Now, he may do it if you're going to miss a meal and out of desperation. But that's not a good way to live. Prosperity is linked to an increase of skills, which requires education and vision and dreams. And so as we do this journey, the Lord's going to drop ideas into you. That doesn't mean you can do it right then. You'll have to go and figure out the skills to do this. Now, high school, really, in all honesty, doesn't give you much skills to do this. But it's still a step. Recently, Dalton State became a four-year college. That's a good thing. I think that's the Lord starting to break that prosperity off of us. And over time, we're going to see the graduation rate go. Graduating from college is not an automatic thing to prosperity, but it shows an attitude to want to learn and grow that you can do without it. My youngest brother, Ken Cooper, some of you know him. He had an associate's degree. He now makes probably double what I make. He eventually went back and got his master's and his bachelor's, but it didn't make any difference. So it's not just linked to that, but it's linked to the idea, okay, there's more here. But doing it by the Holy Spirit to get to where we need to go. Y'all follow me? Mm-hmm. All right. What else do we want to cover? Let me do this real quick. There's so much, and we'll talk about it about the year. But practically, you need to make a budget, and you need to figure out where your money's going. This is something I've learned from the church and from here. People go, all right, to get ahead, I need more money. That is not the first step God's probably going to do with you. It says, let's see if I can find the verse. It says in Haggai 1:6, your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Okay, I've walked this walk and I'm still walking it. The Lord first said, there's things you're spending on that I want you to stop. Well, when you stop spending on it, like one of the things we got rid of, I'm not saying this is for you, I'm just trying to make it practical for me, try to give you ideas, is we stopped cable. $90 a month. We really didn't watch it that much anyway. We were doing Netflix and some other things. Well, when I stopped cable, I'm not saying you stopped cable. Get the idea here, okay? Because some of you like sports, and I don't watch sports, so I didn't care. When I stopped cable at $90 a month, guess what just happened? I got an increase in my income of $90 a month, which is $1,000 a year. I just gave myself a pay raise. Now, you know, you can't cut yourself to prosperity, but it's trying to align, and as you make a budget. Figure out where your money is going. $5 trips and spends on this and that will add up a lot. The first thing I had to learn was self-control, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't do this now, but when I started, I said, well, Lord, do you want me to go to Subway? You want me to do this? You want me to do that? Because it's your money. After you start getting aligned, you learn what he wants you to do and what you don't want to do. But you never do that. Start walking through that, and you'll find yourself getting an increase because the holes are being closed.
Hallelujah.
Now, in the growth journey, we talk about a plan, which is a good goal called the 10-10-80 plan. How many of you have not heard of it? So everybody, you've not heard, a few of us not heard. What it is just a guide. It's a goal. Some people may be beyond this goal, but it's a good place to start that we've been teaching for 10 years. Save 10%, give 10%, and then try to get your expenses to 80%. Some of you may be way beyond that. Still go to the Lord and figure out what it is. If you're not, that's a good goal. And if 100%, I don't know if it's this way now, but a few years ago, the savings rate in America was negative 1% or 2%, 4 or 5 years ago. Well, what does that mean? We're spending 1% to 2% more than what we have, so we're going into debt more. And those years when I was unemployed and my salary is cut, I was in that group fighting for them. So I'm not judging anybody, okay? You know, at that time, a good goal was 1,199. So if you're not anywhere close to that, go. I'm telling you, you need to do it if you want the Lord's hands on you this year. Father, know where you're at. If you don't know where you're at, you need to start. Figure out where you're at. And it's just the pain. I don't like tracking this kind of stuff. There's a zillion ways to do it. We're not going to get into it. You know, like Wells Fargo's where I'm at. You can categorize every little transaction. They'll give you a report. Or if you do the check register, you write on a piece of paper. But you got to know where you're at. So I ask you, where are you at on the 10-10-80? Are you 20-20-60? Are you 1-1-99? Or you're 100% on expenses? And then go to the Lord and say, because this is the deal, He wants to make you a blessing to all the nations. Y'all agree with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To do that, we cannot spend 100% on ourselves as a church and as a people. Blessing includes prophecy, words, helping build, which all takes finances.
Yes, sir.
And to be a blessing to the nation. So you go to the Lord and so figure out where you're at. I'm telling you, this is a word from God. Don't just say this is a great little principle. I'm telling you, as pastor and leader over this thing, this is what He wants us to do, because He wants to make you and us together a blessing to this region.
Amen. Amen.
And there's no magical thing falling out of the sky. You know, magical check to RC. It comes from you or somebody. What we decide to do as a group.
Yes, sir. Come on.
So go back. And if you're 100%, okay, Father, help me in the next 3 months to get to 1,199 or 98. Can't even add today. I'm an engineer. Now, is that so? This, I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as you start doing that, this is going to be a battle, though. What are you going to battle with here? But you go, I do not live by a spirit of fear. The Lord's getting me to a place of freedom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Where we're not living from paycheck to paycheck. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to pray here. I'm going to end here. This is good enough. Oh, let me say this one thing about increase. This is probably, I guess, a more advanced topic we'll talk more about in the future. There's a mentality that we just, the only thing we do is give our 10% to God, and we give it. And that is a valid principle. But I tell you, some of you is going to grab a hold of this. That our giving is going to be to God, but it's going to be into things that don't immediately go into the ministry, that are sown as seeds so that they can increase to give more later.
Yes, sir.
Hear me by the Spirit. This is going to take skills. I've had this dream. I've never been able to do it. Not yet. I've having such a large fund in this church to go into missions that all of the missions is met by the interest of coming off of it. And we keep giving into this fund so that more interest goes into the world. Why? Well, you go, it needs to be spent. No, because I'm thinking about the next generation. It says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I don't know if that'll happen, but somewhere it will. We give regularly to take care of bills and to give around the world. But can you imagine a business? Father, I give 100%. Father, if you give me a business idea, 100% of the profits is going to go back to you, because you blessed me in this other area. There's whole visions of increase He wants to give us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But it comes with, my finances are His. They're aligned with Him. I'm a steward. Could I keep my hands off of that business? Yeah. Because
yes,
I've got the spirit of self-control.
Hallelujah.
You see that? And so increase is not just given to RC or Food for the Hungry or World Vision or something like that. It's doing that, but also more to have more later. Let's stand. And so we're going to start this. And back in 1995, as we did started battling the religious spirit, the church 10 years later looked looked very different. I'm telling you, by God's will, we're going to look very different 10 years from now. It's not because the parking lot's going to have Mercedes. Maybe they do. I like Mercedes. But if that Mercedes comes, it's because I'm way beyond the 10-10-80. 20-20-60, and the 60 can still buy a Mercedes. Does that make sense? You understand where I'm coming from? Hallelujah. Let's figure out how to pray. Are y'all ready? We're going to... It's time to defeat this poverty over this area, over y'all first, over this church, and then filter out, however, to this region. Just like the spirit of religion. And then eventually we'll come back to apathy and lust. I'm already taking notes on the lust part, but it's going to be a few years away. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we come to You today in this sober, solemn moment. And You, if this is Your prayer, You just agree with me. And Father, for myself, and You put Your name in, I recommit 100% of my finances to You. And I pray that You protect them. I pray You align them with the destiny that You have over me and Your values. And I pray that You increase them when I'm able to handle it, to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. Father, I recommit 100% of the finances of this church to You. Protect them, align them, and increase them. And I thank You, Father, over every person here and myself. I thank You for the spirit of prosperity to come upon us. Show us where there's holes. Show us where there's selfishness. Show us where things need to be redirected, knowing that You have our best interests at heart. And Father, we just bind up in our lives and over this church a spirit of poverty. It cannot manifest itself anymore except expose itself and then be delivered from it, either spiritually or physically in our actions. Father, I thank You for the spirit of generosity, which is opposite of the spirit of stinginess. Spirit of stinginess says there's not enough. It says that there's not enough to pass around, but the spirit of generosity knows that heaven is never without. And we use wisdom. I thank You, Father, that this area, it may be at the end of my life, will no longer be the second least educated city in America. That it will no longer be known for one industry, but for educated people with many industries. And I thank You, You're bringing in those people and raising up those people to be a glory and honor to the Most High God. Father, I thank You over this church. I thank You over my finances and anybody's finances here to agree that there will be an inheritance left for our children's children, and they will be trained how not to squander it, but to increase for the next generation. Just as David got all the materials for his son Solomon to build the temple. Father, I thank You even now, spiritually, we're bringing together the materials. And we're going to bring together the physical materials so that the next generation can start higher than where we started. Father, I bind up a spirit of poverty that says our kids have to start at the same place we started. That they start at a higher level. They build on our shoulders. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that we are driven not by the desire for money, but for vision, dreams, blessing other people. Father, I thank You there are people here with a spirit of giving on them. that has been stifled because they've had nothing to give. And if that's you, you just claim it. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that they have more to give that will satisfy every desire in their heart. Father, I thank you for the gift of miracles. I know in my own self I've accumulated debt, and I know probably there's a group this size, there's other people with debt. And in the natural, it's going to take me a long time to get out, but I thank you that for the gift of miracles, as we align and as you protect and as you increase, it happens supernaturally faster as we align with you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for favor in the marketplace. I thank you for favor in the marketplace in Jesus' name. I thank you for favor in the marketplace that we do not even deserve, and we're not that good, or for some reason somebody thinks we are because they see the Spirit of God on the inside of us. By your Spirit, we walk humbly with our God, and we marry what we need to do in the physical realm and in the self-discipline and in the self-control. And I thank you that you take that and increase it in promotion and favor in your time when we can handle it and realize what's happening. Just do it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, we break the spirit of poverty off our spirit, off our soul, and off our body in Jesus' name. That there will be no hindrance to do what you've called us to do. There will be, as Paul, we've run the race, we've finished the course, and we've done what we needed to do. Father, I just say right now, every person place into their minds and in their hands and in their spirits what they need to do to exit this world and say, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course, and now there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We just receive your power. We receive your Spirit. We take this word and we claim 2015. Our finances are yours, and from here on out. And Father, no matter what battles may come, no matter what happens, it is your responsibility, and we walk with you, and our business is your business. In Jesus' name, amen.